Hello, everybody. Hi. Sorry we're late.
Are we late?
We asked a friend of ours to send in an audio clip to play on this episode, which we'll get to later. You'll hear him complain about not being asked to be a guest on the show. And it's like, you guys don't get it, you know? we don't have a time that we do the show. We have a time we plan to do the show.
Yeah.
And then we end up playing Cuphead for 6 hours
Cuphead,
or whatever.
And
then I gotta go to work, and then
you've done a lot of unforgivable shit during the years that we've been dating.
Mm-mm.
But making me a video game person is really, it's just, it crosses the line. I'm so upset. I spent my whole day off playing Cuphead.
Yeah, I went to work and you play Cuphead the whole time, and I come home and you've made zero progress.
I was like, you're back quickly.
You have not completed a level.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
You can agree.
I think it's a notoriously hard game, and
oh,
we refuse to play it on easy. Because we're purists.
I would love to play
it. You could have. I was at work all fucking day. You could have just set it to easy.
Yeah, but I gotta prove that I'm...
This is part of our newest get-rich-quick scheme, which is to become Twitchers. But just like the podcast, we'll put in zero effort and it'll become nothing.
We really are pieces of shit.
I met a couple at the beach who, that's all they do. They Twitch.
They do other stuff.
They make money. No, that's how they make their money.
Are you positive?
That's what they fucking said.
Okay. They said they have made money.
You were half
money.
In the bag, embarrassing yourself.
They said they have made money from it, but it's not their source of income.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It's not.
They have a podcast, too. It all feeds into itself.
And that.
Huh? What do they do for a living? Explain it to me.
Rich parents.
Is that what it is?
I don't know
the last podcast on the left, people.
I don't know. I made
and
that up. I'm
Twitch
sorry
And they all Twitch and podcast together. They're all part of the sketch group Murder Fist, which branched off and became the last podcast on the left.
Yeah.
And they work with those guys. And they do Twitch shit where they like make drinks. So we thought we'd get drunk and play Cuphead, but we forgot to turn on the camera.
And we just got drunk.
Yeah. No, we've been Twitching. Yeah. I hunt one, too, if you want to watch us.
I do think it's pretty fun. I mean, just watching Cuphead is pretty fun, although we play the same level over and over and over again because we suck.
No, I think it's just a hard game.
It is. It is insane. I have to believe that because otherwise I spent my whole day. I mean, no matter what, it's humiliating and I need to kill myself.
Do you see it when you go to sleep? Yeah, I get really depressed when I play a lot of video games.
Even
if I'm enjoying the game, I'm just like, I could be doing anything else.
It was a beautiful day today. I do this all the time. I really do. I am an absolute waste.
You went for a walk? You went to the park? You saw jazz? I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
That was all of like 30 minutes of my day. The rest was spent playing Cuphead.
It's your day off. You don't have to accomplish anything. It's the middle of a pandemic.
I really want to embrace this. Because I feel so guilty when I don't do something, like it's my day off and I'm not doing something productive, but like I really just enjoy doing nothing. I don't even like socializing that much.
What is there to do also?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. There is nothing.
It's fine.
I guess it's fine.
Yeah. What else?
I could like write a screenplay. I could.
No, you can't.
I could. I don't know. I could fucking work
write a screenplay
out for
what?
Life.
What are you gonna? Who are you gonna sell it to? Is it all gonna take place on Zoom?
Yeah, it's White Fragility the musical.
Ooh,
that's actually pretty good. How would that go?
Oh, it would star Kristen Chenoweth, and she would.
Oh, it doesn't star a woman of color. Interesting.
No. Okay, wait. No. Hang on. But it's called White Fragility, so isn't it about... Wouldn't it be mostly white people being fragile?
Wow.
I'm so confused. How do you have a white... That would be so funny. You try to make White Fragility because you're trying so hard to be woke, even though it's the dumbest, most tone-deaf thing in the world. And then... you get in trouble for not casting enough black people in White Fragility the musical. So they do White Fragility the musical with an all black cast.
Yeah.
And then they're, I don't know, they're all racist.
Against themselves. We were talking about making feminism the video game.
Now, feminism the video game, I think, would be a really good idea. Yeah. Because you can't, that one is untouchable because women are stupid and they would latch onto that shit.
Yeah. You're like trying to become the first female CEO of Raytheon.
Yeah.
And all these men are getting in your way.
Yeah. And they keep stealing your ideas.
Yeah. And then the final boss is man spreading.
Oh my God.
It's a guy with like 15 laps.
And he's taking up a whole train on your morning commute. What are you going to do? Oh, yeah. And there's reply guys that you have to shoot on your Twitter somehow.
They're like, well, actually.
Yeah, they just keep popping up. Mm-hmm. I think you look prettier without makeup. Ugh.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Man, we spend all day listening to, hate listening to podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Other people's podcasts.
Yeah.
I gotta stop doing that, man. Because what happened is I was hate listening to this particular podcast because they were talking shit about me. And then then I accidentally subscribed. So now it shows up on my iTunes. And when I've exhausted everything else, I just throw it on because it's, I don't know, it's like second nature. Just click on the next thing.
Well, these people are always getting into it with somebody, which is
right,
such
that
a,
we know.
It's such a red flag, too. I love that. I grew up with and went to college with a lot of people like this who are, you know, the person who goes like, I hate drama.
Yes.
Like they're always the one to get in somebody's shit or like throw a drink in somebody's face and be like, I don't know what happened. I don't know why everyone's mad at me. I hate drama. These people, I mean,
it's so weird to like, I mean, on one hand, you're like, I don't want to give listens to these people or whatever. But then it's curiosity gets the better of you. You're like, what are they fighting with people about now, these fucking idiots? And how are they going to do this mental gymnastic to make themselves sound brilliant and correct?
I think it's great. I honestly really think if this was all, like I said to you earlier, if this was all like a carefully crafted performance,
nobody's that smart.
I would just be applauding them.
It'd be
up
too
and down.
Nuanced, yeah, you know? But it is true, like every once in a while he'll say something like, oh man, and it's like these people, it's like I can't even imagine if I was even more famous than I already am, then I would be catching even more
shit.
You
give
like,
a mouse a Twitter following,
yeah,
Jesus
somebody
Christ.
Gets 40,000 Twitter followers, they think they're the fucking queen of France over here.
It's the arrogance. I mean, it's so fun. It's so fun. I really hope.
Hate listening to shit is great.
It is great.
I got this, you know, this group chat going with a bunch of my friends, and I mean, Matt just finds people on Instagram that we don't know at all.
Yeah.
And now there are people that I'm following.
Are you serious?
Oh,
you
yeah.
Following
they're
them?
Just like wieners and just funny for how awful they are.
And
sometimes, because you know what it is, good content, good things in general are so few and far between. Like how many times you see a great movie a year? Like twice?
Yeah.
Maybe three times? Like I'm talking about like a movie that was made that year. Or like an album that really like resonates with you.
Yeah, new music never really gets me.
So that's so like to find good stuff is so difficult.
Embrace the
you
shit.
Embrace the shit. Laugh at like how awful things are. I remember one time hearing Big J talk about how once a year him and his friends hang out and this is a long time ago. They probably still don't do this, but they would watch Nick Cannon's first comedy special. And Nick Cannon just slowly takes his shirt off during the whole special. That's
really?
The whole thing because he's young and hot.
He just figures out a way to take his shirt off.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Is that available somewhere?
Yeah, I'm sure we could watch
it. I'd love to watch
that. It's around the time of like Drumline and like when he was really popping off.
And then somebody just gave him, was it Comedy Central? They just gave him a special?
Yeah, I think it was Comedy Central.
Wow, that's great. I do, I mean, it really, it's the art of hate listening. It's really important to, I mean, bonus if you know these people personally or like tangentially.
Mm-hmm.
We know of the people that we hate listen to. We've met them once or twice. And then you just have to embrace, you just have to appreciate how bad it is.
How awful they are.
And it, in some part, hate listening, I do think it's important too. It's not as fun if a person is really just putting themselves out there in a genuine, like, sweet way, you know? Like, then you're kind of a bully.
Oh, yeah. No, no. They have to be shitheads. Yeah. I mean, there has to be, yeah. Like, if you go to an open mic, I've always said this. If you go to an open mic and somebody's performing and they suck, but you can tell they took time to write jokes, they rehearsed them, you know, they just either don't have an aptitude for it or they're new.
Yeah.
That is like, you applaud them, you know? You act nice. You're nice to them.
Yeah.
But if somebody is just like always running their mouth and talking shit, like if anybody ever came after us, I'd be like, well, all right, you got us.
Fair,
you know what
enough.
I mean? Yeah.
At least I said in the beginning of this, I am a piece of shit. I know that I'm worthless. A lot of these people that we hate listen to, two in particular, could not love themselves more.
Right.
There's a veneer, this false veneer of self-loathing that narcissists a lot of times do, where they're like, I'm a dirtbag, I hate myself.
Yeah.
Like, you, all you think about is you.
Did you remember the part of the podcast where he talks about how he finds a meme of himself online? He's like, I just found this meme of myself. I don't know, I just happened upon it.
It's crazy how I live inside of these people's heads.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not even that famous.
What he says is, he goes, I don't know, it's kind of funny, like kind of annoying or whatever, mm-hmm. kind of cool or whatever, but like, I found this thing. He rattles off like, three or four different things. I don't know. It's kind of annoying that like these people will like think about me all the time and stuff. And they all have the same fucking like lazy way of talking. They're just like over it. I'm just
never passionate about anything.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you show that you care about something, then you're vulnerable and that's uncool.
Uh-huh. And always the label of comedian. You get to hide behind the label of comedian. You never have to produce anything humorous. You just have to fucking pontificate, and then you're always like, what? I'm joking. It's a joke. What? Don't you know I'm a comedian? There's no evidence anywhere that I actually have a humorous bone in my body.
I don't laugh. I rarely smile.
Yeah. You have to take my word for it. Now I'm just doing an impression of Luis J. Gomez, which is not who we were talking about.
It's truly not.
Anytime anybody does an impression of Luis on a podcast,
that's what they sound like.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
Doggy.
Yeah, doggy, what the fuck?
Anyway, you pick your person and make sure they suck. Like, if they're a really bad person, it makes it so much better.
Because
then you don't feel guilty for hate listening. There are some exceptions. I'm obviously not going to name names, but people who try hard but also suck so bad that it's a work of art in itself.
Sure.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Do you think anybody hate listens to us?
No, it's too good.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct.
Yeah, I'll take it though. If you want to hate listen.
Yeah, sure.
We talk shit generally,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think we get as specific as these people. They like to like run their mouths about
specific. We don't get
specific
into beefs because that's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, it really is. It's so fucking childish. And that's why it's so fun to listen to, because they're like, I don't know why everybody's so mean to us. And like, it's really hurts my feelings. And it's like, if you go to your Twitter timeline, you just at people and then just say shit. Just talk
or
shit.
Or subtweet, but it's very obvious.
Yeah.
Man, we play right into this bullshit, though. That's what
I know.
I'm saying.
But it's reality television. It's fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You're right.
It's reality television, but you know the cast.
Yeah.
And you know that it's not fabricated.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not scripted.
It does add an extra element of, like, true reality.
Yeah, and I think that's why, just in general, a lot of these podcasts that get into fights with other podcasts, and there's beef, and then, like, I don't know, even if you think about, like, Cumtown and how Adam and his fiance broke up, and then, like, people found out about that, and you're like, what's the story with that? And you can go to Reddit and read about it, and you know these are real people's lives.
It's
terrible.
That is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I never want to be like that.
Thank God we're not that popular.
Right, thank God.
Truly, thank God.
We interviewed for a reality show.
Oh, yeah.
So there was this guy who was looking for a group of friends to be in a reality show that they didn't even really know. We can talk about this because we got rejected from it, right? For
hard,
sure we did.
Hard immediately.
Yeah. So it was like a group. They wanted like a group of friends who were either going to do like a food review show or like
they
a
had
prank
no
show.
Idea.
They didn't know what it was. Basically, you could tell what they were trying to do was capture the
Impractical
Jokers. Yeah, the popularity of the Impractical Jokers. Try to piggyback on that level of success.
I may be bitter, so take that into account, but in retrospect, it really sounds like the laziest pitch because the producers just go, I want everybody to already be friends. I want everybody to be comedians. I want it to either be a review show or a prank show or a food show. We don't really know.
Yeah, travel show.
Or a travel show. Yeah, like I just want it all done for me.
The main thing is you guys have to be friends. You have to be diverse and you have to be hilarious.
And then they were just like, go.
Yeah. It's basically like, you know, how can we do the least amount of work? So we were like, all right, we'll fucking give you interesting, funny people.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got a crew together and they wanted like a theme or like a name, you know?
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, we're like a dirtbag group. We're a bunch of comedians who perform in the back of bars.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sat down with us, the casting director, who I knew from years ago, and he interviewed us, and man, here's the thing. It would have been the best show ever.
I know. I really...
It would not be airable on any network.
We couldn't possibly... CW, in particular, is... I mean, I've never met anybody like him in my life. He's one of my absolute favorite comedians that I've met in New York City. He's such a wild card.
Yeah. We interviewed him on this show as a guest and he made us delete the episode.
Yeah.
But he's completely crazy.
He's
he does the most edgy, wacky, avant-garde comedy.
It's so interesting. And so during the pitch meeting, the producer was like, "Oh, so how did you guys all meet?" And CW immediately just goes like, "Oh, well, Nick and I met as kind of like the, what is that movie?
Oh, Blind
the
Side.
The Blind Side.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the big retard or something.
I'm the big black retard and Nick took me in." And the guy's just like, okay.
That was the whole thing.
It was like just stuff like that. And then Nick told a story that...
Should I play the story? I had him... the thing he sent
us. I kind of wanted to just play it at the end.
Okay,
I don't know why it makes a difference, but...
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we'll send him off with the story. But Nick told this story about...
Yeah, we had to find out third hand that we had been rejected. And I don't know, we were all like I was sending follow-up emails and stuff. We knew right away it wasn't going to happen. But it would have been like a really... especially if they would have let us done like a... Insomniac type,
yeah,
get drunk, go to dive bars type show. That's what we wanted to do.
I think it would be a good pitch for Vice.
Maybe we could do it. We could try. We could pitch it.
Yeah.
Or we could just make it ourselves. I mean, I don't really understand though, because like you can't make TV right now.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't know what they wanted because like how are you gonna do a prank show? Is it gonna be like drawing dicks in the middle of Zoom meetings? I don't understand.
Yeah,
anyway.
It was I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe after the pandemic, but
yeah, someday.
Who knows when that's going to be?
Never.
But you blew it. You blew it.
I
TBS
didn't blow it.
Or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, I'm saying they blew it for not hiring us.
It's so funny. I mean, they wanted like a diverse crew. I had nothing to say. It made me feel very uninteresting because they wanted us to all be like caricatures of people. Like, okay, this one's the nerdy one, this one's the prankster, this one, I don't even know what else anyone could possibly be. There's nerdy people and there's pranksters and that is it. And I was just like, and I'm the girl one of the group. Is that enough? Can we move on?
Oh, I heard they liked you and they hated everybody else.
I don't believe that for a second. I don't.
I didn't even talk during the whole thing. So
well,
I don't know.
He was the one asking questions. So I don't know. It was such a weird. Well, I think especially via Zoom, It's, I don't know. I had never done anything like that before. It was an odd interaction.
It just wasn't us. I mean, I like the Impractical Jokers. Like, I've been listening to Q's podcast since when he was a fireman. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm on board. Sal is hilarious. He's a hilarious stand-up.
Oh, yeah, we watched it.
But we're not those guys. We're not, like, giggling and slapping each other's backs and like, oh, my God, what's going to happen next?
Right.
You know?
I mean, honestly, we watched it after our interview, like, not too long ago. It really is so funny.
It's
like,
hilarious.
Genuinely funny. And it seems like they struck gold with that, and I don't know how they're ever going to replace those guys. That's, like, that's really rare. Because they are, aren't they all childhood friends?
Yeah, they grew up together on Staten Island, and they've already pitched 3 or 4 other shows. They were already together in a sketch group.
Okay.
So, like, when they go on tour, they do their sketches from that they've had. So, they played Madison Square Garden, like, countless times.
Oh, my God.
They have their own cruise ship. And so, you get to... I mean, they're the full package because they've known each other for so long. You know, they're best friends. Yeah. They spend every holiday together and shit.
It's like the producers, like I'm saying, got so spoiled with that they're like,
because what you get is you get the prank show.
Yeah.
But then when you want to send them on tour, they already have
performance.
Yeah, full sketches planned out, you know.
Yeah.
And so we had to like put together like a hodgepodge group of comedians, and we all are friends, but we're not best friends.
We didn't grow
up
together. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we rarely hang out, and we don't hang out at all now.
I know, we haven't seen each other in months, and so we're all just like, hey, one of us is still at home. Like Connor was in Connecticut. I don't know why. No, upstate New York, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, just like
and CW like needs a handler, you know what I mean? Like he's like Milton's son, and we get to hang out with him until he has a meltdown and throws his phone in a gutter. You know?
He has, how many phones has he destroyed?
We were more interesting than 4 or 5 guys who seem like carbon copies of each other. Not that the Impractical Jokers do, but like some other stuff that we saw.
I do have confidence in the crew. It's just like, what show? That's the kind of thing that you can't just introduce to Middle America. Oh my God, I feel like we're talking about hate listening to people. If somebody was hate listening, we'd be like, stop sucking your own dick. But like, I'm not even that we're that. Well, it is. I do think
you're
having
a whole conversation with yourself.
I'm sorry. Okay. Let me
collect your thoughts.
Begin again.
No, we are too real for.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't. You'd have to put us on at 3 a.m. on Comedy Central or Adult Swim.
Too niche at the very least.
Yeah, let's play this. Let's put the story right here. This
the
is a story. Yeah.
Okay. This is a story that
Milton explains it.
Told the producer. Yeah. But go ahead.
Hello, listeners of the Suicide Pact podcast. My name is Nick Milton. Kat and Ian have asked me to send along a little story, a story that I told at a pitch meeting for a TV show, I guess it was. The fact that I told this story during said pitch meeting should let you know why my career is where it is. If you're wondering where my career is where it is, look no further than the fact that I'm sending an audio to a podcast instead of being asked to be on it. Anyway, here's the story. I moved to New York many years ago. Before I did, I was sober. When I got here, I fell off the wagon, and I went on about a 6 to 8 month bender where I was just a real mess. At the beginning of this bender, I was hanging out a lot at a bar in my neighborhood that was notorious for having some of the worst people. While hanging out at this bar, I started becoming a little infatuated with the bartender, who, through talking to the regulars, I was informed that not only was she a bartender, but she was also an escort. Nonetheless, I asked her out. She said no, but she did inform me that if I ever wanted to go out with her, I could pay, and she gave me a card. Fast forward to now we're like deep into this bender, and one night I'm home, I'm by myself, and I think to myself, you know, what's more of a New York experience than being with a prostitute? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call it. So I call the number that she had given me on the card. A guy picks up. I immediately hang up the phone. My phone rings. I pick it up. It's the guy. He goes, yeah, you call me? And I was like, yeah, I think I have a wrong number. And he says, no, I think you were looking for a prostitute. I was like, ah, you got me. So I then ask for the girl who was the bartender, and he informs me that she's busy, which means she's getting fucked by somebody, but tells me that they have a lot of comparable girls that can come meet me. And he asks me, what are you looking for? Now, the only real thing I at the time remembered about people being with prostitutes was that many years earlier, Lawrence Taylor got arrested because he ordered a prostitute and she was like 14. So in my head, I'm like, oh shit, I don't want to have that happen. So dumbly, I say, when he asks, what are you looking for? I say, nobody young. He goes, all right, yeah, I think I got something for you. Give me about 30 minutes. 30 minutes go by. I get another phone call. It's the guy. He says, go downstairs. Your girl's waiting for you. I come downstairs. I open the front door. In front of me is a woman who is about 5'2", wearing a mink jacket, smoking a cigarette that is in a cigarette holder. And she looks to be somewhere in her mid to late 50s. I first think I should just close the door on her. But then I think to myself, okay, if this chick's got a pimp and I just slam the door and go in my house, this pimp's going to be banging on the door. My neighbors are going to be aware of this. It's going to be a whole thing. I could get evicted. I got to at least let her in. She comes upstairs. We go in my bedroom. She sits on the bed. I sit in a chair on the opposite side of the room. And I tell her, hey, you know, I think I might have jumped into this too fast. I don't know if I'm comfortable with this. She informs me she's not a clock watcher. So however long it takes, she will wait until I am ready. So to pass the time, we start having a little bit of a conversation. She notices that I'm a comedian from some stuff that's in the room, and informs me that she used to hang out at Dangerfield's Comedy Club in New York City a lot during the 80s, and that she fucked a lot of comedians who were at the club. Then she informs me of how the New York Yankees would often invite her out to parties where she would fuck a lot of the New York Yankees. She named Chuck Knoblauch by name. She also informed me, without saying that she fucked him, she mentioned Joaquin Phoenix for some reason and how she was there when he shaved off his beard. After about an hour of these stories and me just nodding my head to all of it, she informs me that it's time to shit or get off the pot. And I tell her, you know what? How about this? I just pay you and we call it a day. She tells me, you should get something for your money. So why don't you do this? Why don't you come over here, sit down, and just jack off? And I'll be here next to you, and we'll call it even. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, how hard can that be? It was very hard, because I couldn't get hard sitting next to a woman who reminded me of my grandmother. I'm sitting there trying to jack off, and she is next to me, rooting me on. At one point, when she first saw my penis, she said something that stuck with me to this day. I pulled it out, and in a very thick old lady New York accent, she said, oh, there it is. There's the monster of the week. I don't know what that means. Whatever. At one point, when I started getting hard, she let me know that if I did want to have sex, she has to be on top, because she did a lot of coke in the 80s and 90s, and that now she has a deviated septum, and if she lays on her back, she can't breathe. So now we're back to not hard. And eventually, I just kind of say, hey, I think I did too many drugs. I think I'm too drunk. I can't come. She pulls my shirt open, because I'm wearing a button-up shirt. She pulls it open and tries sucking on my nipple. That doesn't help. I'm pushing her off at this point, going, nah, it's all right. Eventually, I just kind of get up. I go get the money. I'm like, hey, here you go. Sorry for the inconvenience. Sorry this didn't work out maybe the way you thought it was. She's like, no problem. She leaves. The next day I wake up and I'm riddled with shame. But I'm thinking to myself, the thing that keeps me from really evaluating my own life is, well, am I the sad one, or is it the woman who's in her late 50s that her only option in life is to prostitute herself? And how lonely must she be, and how sad must her days be? And this is enough to keep me going on my bender for another couple days, until one day I decide, middle of the day, I'm going to head over to the Applebee's in Astoria. I'm gonna have a little steak, maybe some ribs, I don't know. I'm sitting at the bar by myself, and the front door of the Applebee's opens, and in walks the old lady prostitute. And with her is a man of an equal age, a handsome-looking man, I will say. And with them are three lovely grandchildren, I assume. The five of them get a booth, and they have a wonderful dinner, lots of laughs, lots of hugs, very, you know, Norman Rockwell type Applebee's dinner. And it's at that moment I realize, oh, I am the loser. This woman has people who care about her, and she can afford to take five people out to an Applebee's dinner, whereas I, on the other hand, am paying with dollar coins for my Applebee's dinner. The day after that, I decided to get sober again, and I will say that I've had a pretty good run ever since then with not being a total fucking loser. Anybody who wants to follow me?
Great story, but we don't do plugs on this show.
Sorry, Nick. We ran out of time.
Yeah, maybe we'll get your plug in next time.
Instagram.
But that's what you could have had, TLC or whatever.
TBS, MTV, I don't know.
Put us on after, you know, fat people dying on a mattress, rotting to death. Those fat people shows where they get so fat that their guts, like, become calluses?
Oh, Ian, have I?
Oh, you love that shit.
Oh, have I?
If a foot doesn't get amputated, Catherine doesn't watch it.
I've seen every disgusting show TLC can throw at me. They have freak show. They have exploited every carny, inbred freak in the United States, and I appreciate them for that.
Yeah, but they try to, like...
But, they have, like, a sympathy element.
Yeah.
A&E, I guess, like with Intervention, they really do help the people. So you get to exploit them.
I'm walking on sunshine. That's not funny.
I'm sorry.
That woman was addicted to keyboard cleaner.
No, you've shown me. Okay, I come out of the bathroom the other day. I'm minding my own business, not being a horrible person yet. And Ian shows me this video somebody made of the woman from Intervention who's addicted to keyboard cleaner screaming, I'm walking on sunshine.
Yeah. Hold on. Give me my phone.
You're going to play it?
Yeah, that, vamp.
I was going to say that that show, at least while they exploit people, they get them help, so it kind of balances out. But with TLC, a lot of these shows are just like, look at these freaks anyway. They're fucked for the rest of their lives.
Contains subject matter and language that may be disturbing to some viewers. Viewer discretion is advised.
She just inhales the whole thing in her mouth.
I wish I had a father.
Oh my god. That was a part where I was like, no, we can't. Like, there's no justification for that. We're just horrible, horrible people. Did she get help?
I heard she's good now.
She can never go into a Staples again.
That's like when you go on Reddit, though, and you see somebody like get kicked in the head, and then they're like, yeah, they turned out fine. It's like, how do you know? Did you just write that in the comments so we can all
CTE
enjoy this?
CTE takes a long time.
Yeah.
They murdered their family years later.
You know, Duster probably zaps some brain cells. She's functioning at 100%. How did Steve-O end up like relatively okay?
That's insane.
Watch any of those like videos with him?
Yeah, you've shown me a lot of old Steve-O.
He was doing nitrous all the time.
Is nitrous? Do you know?
I don't know.
Did they put it in cars?
Yeah.
To like
boost. Don't ask me. Okay, sorry. I hate when you do this. It's like, do you know the answer to this question?
Yeah,
no.
You brought it up.
Keep
you
asking.
Brought up nitrous.
You get like a big tank and you like huff it.
Okay.
And he was like wallpapering his house with $100 bills, and he was living in his apartment complex, and he like busted a hole through the wall and like started climbing through to bother his neighbor.
Oh my
he almost
God.
Jumped off of the roof, like of a. He was going to kill himself, you know, because he was
crazy.
Hearing demons in his head and stuff. And Johnny Knoxville took him to rehab. And
it
now
is,
he's like, he's the only one that's like put together.
That's wild. Yeah. It is, isn't it sort of heartbreaking or not funny? I don't even know what the definition of ironic is anymore. But the fact that of all those guys, Ryan Dunn was the one that died.
Ryan Dunn was wild, though.
Was he?
I
always saw him as the one who was, like, annoyed by everybody else. I know he engaged, but,
he was the one that would do anything.
Relative to, like, Bam and Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville.
No, like, those guys would do crazy shit. But if you think back, it's like, who's going to shove a car up their ass? Even Steve-O's like, I'm not going to do it.
Wow. I have this weird Mandela effect memory. Like, I'm positive that Steve-O was the one who did it. Like, I have...
Really?
Yeah.
No, Steve-O thought his dad would disown him.
Is it only Mandela effect if other people also believe it?
Yeah,
I just have a false memory of whatever, Steve-O doing that. But did Steve-O pierce his ass cheeks together with one giant piercing?
But that doesn't even seem that bad.
That seemed awful. It has to be so thick to even go through.
Yeah, but your ass meat is, like, not that sensitive.
But you gotta go deep, like fairly deep, in order to it seem pretty bad.
It's not as bad as shoving a toy car up your butthole.
That doesn't hurt. Trust me.
Well, how do you know?
Just trust me, all right? Anyway, so I guess I'm wrong about Ryan Dunn. I just, in my memory, he had like, even though he was engaging in everything else, he had like the lowest energy, personality energy.
Maybe. But he was also like a crazy, like him and Bam around that time were crazy drunks.
Yeah.
Like I went to Westchester one time and
I
went to a bar.
That's where I was born. Shout out.
And Dunn was just like shit faced, just slapping the shit out of these giant bouncers.
What?
Like he was throwing himself on the bar.
Because
and stuff.
It was Bam's bar?
Yeah, but he was just like, I think he was, when he died, you know, he was shit faced.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right. It's not that surprising. I just would have assumed if we had to guess like the order they would have died in, Steve-O number one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It looked like he was going down that path.
Yeah. What but I know, there's probably, it was like HuffPo or Jezebel or Salon or something, or like, Jackass is like, it's not misogyny, it's like just having Jackass in the zeitgeist at all and as a thing that men like and talk about is like alienating to women.
Oh right.
I forget, because
women don't like stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, Mike Racine, the best tweet recently. This woman who's a comedian tweeted out, what'd she tweet out? Like
okay, she said, unfortunately, this is not it verbatim, but it was like, unfortunately, I was really into White Russians a few years ago because unfortunately I was dating men who liked The Big Lebowski.
Right. And Racine quote tweeted that and wrote, real question, do women like anything or do women enjoy anything?
And, no, wait, genuine question, are there movies that women enjoy?
Yeah, and they, yeah, something and like that. Like, and then she was like, I also hate The Sopranos. And he was like, for attention. It's true. It's just like women are sitting around being like, how can I be mad at men today?
It does.
I know the movies they like.
I know I say this all the time and I like make fun of women, but it's like, it's a archetype of an internet woman that's become, it's bleeding into reality. Yeah. And it's scaring me, where it's like he said, it's like women are allowed to like other things, and also it doesn't make men bad that they like a popular movie.
Right.
Or like, can you believe it, ladies, he likes The fucking Sopranos or whatever.
Well,
like,
it's a symptom of like having your entire identity is wrapped up in the other gender.
As if,
you know,
women don't like dog shit.
Yeah, you can have, but also you can just have your own hobbies and,
yeah,
your own thoughts. You don't have to constantly be fixated on what men are doing.
Well,
because you realize all of a sudden, you know, you put all this energy into hating men for the things they do, for the things they like, and then you got to sit back and realize that your whole personality is men and,
well,
what they do,
Ian,
and how you feel about it.
Don't you think that if they stopped, if people stopped to reflect for a moment, that I do think it's like they know subconsciously that if they didn't blame other people for all their problems, they'd have to get a little introspective and,
right,
realize they're the reason they're having trouble in relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so great that it's like you sit around and you go, what did men do to me? Movies!
They like movies.
What do men like?
You know how men all like that one Coen Brothers movie? Fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is great. And it's so great to see somebody go there on Twitter, like actually call somebody out.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, we can do that? That's awesome.
Yeah. If you scroll through somebody's Twitter and it's just like, men do this, men do that, you want to be like, don't you have, do you like politics? Do you like, you know, do you travel? Do you travel?
Or
do you like art? Do you like restaurants?
No,
or cooking?
Men.
Or, yeah. No, I hate men. I think you're begging for men,
yeah,
to be around you and pay,
I mean,
attention to you.
Yeah, definitely. Your entire,
yeah, life. Men are cool. Women are shitty and stupid idiots.
That's right. I'm a
dumb idiots who just play Cuphead all day
and suck at it. Ladies, just play Cuphead. You won't have time to do anything, not even go to the bathroom. You will soil yourself right on your own couch where your boyfriend is now sitting and he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know I did
know
that.
This couch already stinks like shit.
It does. Should we get back to playing Cuphead?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Wait, Ian didn't want me to do this, but I wanted to
come back.
I wanted to come back and thank Nick Milton for his story and tell you guys to listen to his podcast, which is called
Fuck That Guy.
Fuck That Guy. Him and CW, right?
Yeah.
Okay.